In the late 1960s, I joined the women's movement. In the 1970s, I even wrote my dissertation on the representation of women in film. In the early 1980s, however, I read Bell Hooks' Feminist Theory from Margin to Center and was compelled to rethink much of what I had learned about feminism and to think beyond white women and our experiences. That led me to read works by black and brown women, including Barbara Smith, Sherry Moraga, Angela Davis, Patricia Hill Collins, and Louise Erdrich. In 1990, I began working with Dr. J.Q. Adams, a WIU colleague and an associate in the Office of Faculty Development, where he focused on increasing multicultural awareness across campus. Bell Hooks had primed me to recognize that men could not be eliminated from the equation when considering issues of race, ethnicity, gender, or class. So it was a relatively easy step to again widen my interests and read more about cultural diversity and social justice as these affected men and women. Authors included Ronald Takaki, Cornel West, Paula Rothenberg, and Tim Wise. My horizons were expanded again when Dr. Adams and I received a grant that allowed us to sponsor annual conferences on cultural and social justice issues. I was introduced to more scholars and activists, among them Reverend C.T. Vivian, Barbara Ransby, Sut Jolly, and Pedro Noguera. More reading and more listening as insights were shared and absorbed. More recently, my reading has intensified, prompted by my retirement resolve to read more, but also by the disturbing direction our country has taken and by the wealth of research being done by young scholars and activists. In the last few years, I have read more history, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz's and Indigenous Peoples' History of the United States, Elizabeth Gillespie McRae's Mothers of Massive Resistance, White Women and the Politics of White Supremacy, and Ibram X. Kendi's Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. These works have been eye-opening, to say the least. Well-written and based on primary sources, they fill many gaps in U.S. history as I had learned it, by placing race at the center of that history. We tend to deny the impact race has had here, but racial inequality was written into our Constitution when African Americans were counted as 3/5 a person. Fortunately, our Constitution has been amended, and not only blacks but also women have been recognized as whole persons, as citizens with multiple rights, including the right to be counted and the right to vote. Though at this moment, both of these rights are in jeopardy, particularly the right to vote, given legislation in several states that makes voting increasingly difficult for some people, that is, people of color and people living in poverty. Despite the changes in our Constitution, we are still affected by that early racist proclamation of the diminished worth of some people. We still need to study our history to deepen our understanding of this reality, and to learn ways to counter the devaluing of people around us, whatever their color or culture. Macomb is not unique in having to deal with this reality. It could be unique as it recognizes this and responds with a genuine, ongoing commitment to every person in our community. Led by Mayor Mike Inman and WIU Interim President Martin Abraham, the Moving Macomb Forward Committee is working to make this happen. Other organizations and individuals are joining the effort. I hope to do so as well. It's a matter of continuing to expand and deepen our understanding so we can contribute to Macomb's vision of itself as a welcoming, inclusive community. I'll keep reading, but I'll also up the ante for myself by trying on the local level to communicate more effectively with a wider range of community members, and on the state and national levels to strengthen efforts to preserve the rights of our diverse population.